Hello, everybody. It's been a long time. It is your girl, Black Sugar. Yeah. I'm so glad to be back. I am so glad to be back. Thank you for having me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My sisters and my brothers, I love you and I have missed you all. So much has been going on in the world. The world's changing and losing its mind. You know it's true. You know it's true. Everything is just going topsy-turvy. You don't know one thing from the next. Donald Trump is still a free man. I am like totally like angry about that. Yes, yes. I'm going to say this again. Yes, I can't stand the fact that this man is still walking the free earth, knowing he violated the Constitution in every way. So the latest is they're having the January 6th, what's the word I'm looking for, y'all? Y'all know what I'm looking for. Help me out now. Hello. Help me out. The January 6th insurrection hearings. Yes, it started in, if I'm not mistaken, this is July, but it started like in May, June. And they've subpoenaed everybody. They've subpoenaed the entire Trump administration. The only two that they're waiting to get their hands on to meet, or three. And that's Clarence Thomas's wife, Donald Trump, and Mike Pence. So, we're going to keep on watching. I watch on MSNBC. I'm stuck on that. I do like MSNBC, y'all. It's a good team. It's a good news team. I love Joy Reid. I do. In spite of my own personal difficulties, you know, I'm reaching out because today our topic is for anyone who has experienced sexual harassment on the job. Sexual harassment on the job. I've never in my life experienced it until this year in 2022. I hadn't even finished my 6-month probation. I was heading toward the 4th month. I was working for CalVet Assisted Living in West Los Angeles under Veterans Administration, Veteran Affairs. It was a state job. I was so excited, you know, to venture out into a different job. It was a custodian, but I'm proud of any job I receive because I'm going to put my best foot forward. I'm going to make sure that I'm there to do the job that I'm being paid for. That's how I am about jobs that I work. I represent myself. I represent my color. I represent my people. I keep my head held high. I walk with as tall, even though I'm short. But I, you know, I have a strong backbone. And every day I look up, I keep my head held high, looking in the eye of those that come to me. But back to the matter at hand. His name was Devlin Boyd. He was a supervisor. He was not my supervisor, mind you. My supervisor was named Joya Simmons. Calvet, West Los Angeles, is a clown show. It is the housekeeping department, I'll say that, because for whatever reason, they want to make sure the dark-skinned sisters go straight to housekeeping. They won't allow you to transfer to other departments unless you're African, Nigerian, Ethiopian, you know, or, you know, another race, or if you're young, light-skinned. You know, these are categories that policies that they have broken, and I was a victim of. One morning, I'm at work, and we're all getting together, getting our work together, getting our equipment for, you know, our day. Devlin Boyd crossed in front of me from my left side. And as he crossed in front of me, he rubbed very seductively my left arm from my elbow to my wrist. It was like slow, and it had a lot of messaging in it. I am a 56-year-old woman. There was a time a young man had rubbed his finger in the palm of my hand. I mean, you know, the way people want to address you, sexual nature, and they expect you to pick up on it like as though you know what's going on. All I know is that at my work, it was offensive. I didn't say anything at first because I'm a black woman. Who was going to believe me? That's the first thing the devil put in my head. Who's going to believe you? You're black. So as time went by, I started getting this really eerie feeling that he just was around every corner. Every time I turned around, there he was. Everywhere I looked, there he was. I mean, it was like a nightmare for me. I started, you know, hyperventilating, and then I started crying profusely. I could not stop the whole time I was there, practically. So he kept harassing me. So I finally went to the chain of command. I talked to the management, his supervisor. Well, his supervisor's name is Andre Brown. Very good, hardworking man, but Andre is afraid of Devlin. I don't know why. It was something that happened before I got there. And he's afraid of Joya, because the story goes, Joya Simmons and Devlin Boyd are in an on the job, off the job relationship affair, because Devlin is a married man and he is still with his wife. So they're committing adultery, and the entire administration knows all about it. But that's another story. Let's get back to mine, shall we? So I told Andre that didn't work. So I told a gentleman by the name of Joe Diaz. He was the department manager, and housekeeping was one of his departments. I cried to him. I went to his office during that little bit of time that I was there at least 6 times, and each time was regarding Joya Simmons or Devlin Boyd. Please excuse me, I'm still here. The hurting is, I was forced to resign July 19th because the harassment started around May 15th. I have all documentation. I wrote my own resignation letter, and I distinctly put in there that Devlin Boyd sexually harassed me and no one did anything. The administration starts with Teresa Stark. She's the deputy administrator there. I told her 3 times and it went unheard. I told Joe first, Mr. Joe Diaz. I t- told him at least 5 or 6 times. He wanted me to describe it and was it fast, was it slow? Didn't make no sense to me at all. That morning, I was doing my work. The next thing I know, there he was, just out of nowhere, like always, and saying that I had a trash top on the ground and that the trash can tops are to always stay on top of the trash cans. Well, as a custodian, how am I to put the trash in the can if the top is on it? How am I supposed to do my job if the top is on the can and I'm trying to put trash in the trash can? Can you help me with that? Can you help me with that? That didn't make no sense. It was just to harass me more and more. So this was the last day, people. July 19th, 7:30 a.m. in the morning. I'm running around looking for administration. I couldn't find Miss Teresa Stark. She was there. So I end up speaking to an Edward Park. He's an Asian. Very biased. I would say racist, but bias should, you know, solidify that he's all around. So I ran to him crying. I gave him my my credentials, my radio and my ID and all. I handed it to him and I cried to him, telling him about Devlin. And he distinctly told me, until he has evidence. Ladies and gentlemen, sexual harassment, I have learned, has nothing to do with evidence at all. Because you will never have it. They make sure. Yes. Yes. They make sure. They make damn sure there is no witnesses. Anytime they want to confront you, they make sure that there's no one there so they can use their supervisory position and the word supervisor to prove that they're not lying and that they're of the utmost reproach because they're a supervisor. Where you hired the wrong person. And I am whistleblowing. I'm doing it. I'm not afraid. Ladies and gentlemen, I've never experienced sexual harassment in my life. All the years that I've worked jobs, I've never experienced it. I knew what I felt. I know how it started having me react. He started retaliating on me, putting me on a floor all to myself, way away from everyone. I felt isolated. I cried all the time. I cried to anybody who would hear me. It was like working in a prison. No one in this world should feel like that when they are working and they do their job. I am a good worker. I was the best, one of the best workers at Calvet in housekeeping. Because I'm not a teeny bopper. I'm not a youngster. I'm not going out on Fridays and Saturday nights, you know, and calling off on Sundays. I have a family. I take care of my disabled brother, my niece, my son. My brother's 64 years old with renal failure and he's blind. My niece, she was born mentally challenged. My son was stricken with schizoaffective bipolar disorder. Y'all forgive my voice. We'll discuss that. He was stricken with schizoaffective bipolar disorder at the age of 18. And I am their caregiver, caretaker, and more than that, I'm their family. So, you know, I try to keep work separated from what I have to do at home. At least I tried hard. It was very difficult because I came home crying practically daily, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I was crying daily. Daily. It was so sad. I'm just still devastated. It's been a week and a day since I had to walk out, and that man, Devlin Boyd, changed my life when he did that. And then for the entire administration to rally around him as though he was in the right. I'm going to do that again. Yes, it's a joke. CalVet Veteran Affairs, as long as they have Devlin Boyd working there, I promise, will never have any decent workers in housekeeping. I am nowhere near the first person he ran off from that job. Now, him and Joya Simmons. Yes, it's rumored, but it's true. You know, we all have jobs. Rumors, my ass. You know when rumors are true and when they're not. Especially when Joya is in my face defending Devlin for something that he did to me and he had no right, and that was being in my face. So I confronted him and I started getting worried about my job. I started panicking. Was I going to lose my job? Yes, administration knows that too. I told Joe Diaz. Because he was coming around me so much, it was like a moth to poison. It was disgusting. He made me feel creepy. He made me feel like I was always doing something wrong. And I know that's not the way I was supposed to be in training. It's a 6-month probation. What I didn't know until all this fanfare at this job and all this hell that I went through with CalVet and with the SEIU 1000 union representative by the name of Olga Hansen. I'm going to say that again. Olga Hansen. She did not help me at all. She was supposed to come on board with my grievance, and she was, personally, I wasn't even supposed to deal with the union. It was supposed to have been taken care of between Joe Diaz and Andre Brown. Then it got out of line and it got to the administrator. She wants to cover it up. It's Teresa Starks. This whole thing has been one disgusting nightmare. And if you identify with this podcast, I ask you, if you are being harassed and you're a beautiful black woman, or if you are a woman, or if you're a man, and I want to say this to all my beautiful, gorgeous, chocolatey brothers. This is not a vendetta against black men. This is justice against one man that just happens to be black. I know, Black Sugar knows how to separate the difference. I will never, ever, ever put all of black men in one bag as though they do, how the other races do us. When one person does something wrong, we all do. No, we're the only race that endures that behavior. We're the only race, and I would never be a part of that, my brothers. I love you all so much. You go through so much. And I do tell you, and I will say this, this has nothing to do with any black man but the one I named. And that is Devlin Boyd, supervisor. He should not have that position. He has no supervisory skills. He has no filter. He talks to black people as though he is an overseer for the white man. Yes, we call them sellouts. Yes, we do. We call them sellouts. We do. Sellout. You need to get the hell out. You need to get the hell out. That's what Martin Lawrence said. He said, before I sell out, I'll get the hell out. And, you know, that's a sad thing. You don't have no education. And you rely on using and abusing the system to get your way in places and things that you don't even deserve. The only reason why Devlin Boyd got that position was because they're low staff. They have a lot of turnover. A lot of turnover. Do you hear what I'm saying? Honey, that entire building is on its last legs. But I understand why. Because there's so much karma in that place. They don't look out or protect their employees. They all gather around because they use the words administrator, supervisor, department manager. They're more proud of the names that they're under than what the job is that people do to make them look good. They get it all wrong, backwards, stupid, ignorant. Go back to school. It's never too late, ever. Never too late. They didn't protect me from this sexual deviant. That's what I keep calling him. Yes, sexual deviant. Sexual deviant. I know the difference between a hug. Let me just say this for the record. I'm not a timid woman. I ain't saying you could step on my toe and we'll be in court. Or you bump into me and we'll be in court. I ain't never went to court behind nothing like this in my entire life. I did sue a job because they wrongfully terminated me. And I won my case. I had every right to. I did what I was asked to do to come back to perform the duties. And they wouldn't let me come back. I won that case. I intend to win this one. I already have my letter for the right to sue. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. I have a letter for the right to sue. And I'm going to pursue. Get it? Pursue. Right to sue. Thank you. Yes, I'm going to pursue the right to sue because nothing makes me more angrier than my own people thinking that we stupid. We not stupid. How dare you disrespect us? How dare you disrespect black women? Ain't your mamas black? I know the man is on my Facebook page. I'm put him on my blog. Black Sugar's Lounge blog. Everybody think I just got Facebook. Baby, Saquita is everywhere. All you got to do is Google Black Sugar Writer. That's BLAQQUE SUGA Writer. Black Sugar Writer. That's the way I spell my black. Because I like the word. And very, very unique. Thank you very much. Just my name, Saquita, should tell you something. Yes, that's my real name. Okay, you got me. But it's unique. My mama has 7 kids. And I'm the only one with that type of name. Everybody else has a regular American name, not me. So that's just letting me know one thing. I'm special beyond measure. I am a divinely loved child of the King. Not that I'm just special to him. We all that love God should feel special. We all that know that God love us back should feel special. Should feel just like, like, you know, you set yourself apart, you know. But I had to share this with my loved ones. It's been a long time since I talked to y'all, and I apologize. That's my bad. I know I should pre-record and all that. Once I move and get my life back on track, because I do know another job is on its way. Yeah. I put in over, let me just say for the record, for the first time in my life, I put in over 100 applications. I know the job that's coming next is better than the one that I was forced to leave. Calvet, this goes out to the residents, the hardworking people that are left there. All of you, I wish you well on your journeys. I wish you all of God's love, peace, joy, and happiness. And that goes for the sexual deviant, because God says, pray for your enemies. Pray for them. Because here I am, a very introverted black woman, you know, very to myself kind of sister. And I found out I have enemies. You don't have to make enemies to have enemies. I found that out. You do not have to make enemies to have enemies. God knows I was not trying to make an enemy of any person there. All I was trying to do was get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and get my coffee, get dressed, look all chocolatey, smelling good, looking good. Because I would wear these special earrings that would represent my sisters, our black women, Africa, the beautiful black woman, the beautiful melanin sister, the power of the black man. I would wear earrings to represent the brother that died last year. And you know, when you're doing something live, you can't remember nobody's name. And that's George Floyd. God, thank you, Jesus, George Floyd. I would wear We Can't Breathe. We Can't Breathe. I was always, every day, wearing an inspiring, I love you black people type of earrings. Yeah. They're not real, but they represent way more than what could ever be real. The just the beauty of it. But I would do that, and then I'd go get my coffee if I needed my gas, y'all. You know, stop by the gas station. And then I would get on that freeway, and I would pray. Me and my Heavenly Father would have a morning conversation. And I'd just be talking away. And when I end that with my Heavenly Father, that's carrying me over those highways and byways, and I'm praying for him to drive me and drive my neighbors on the freeway to our destinations safely. Then I would pray out, say amen, and turn on the Steve Harvey Morning Show. I'd have to hear me some trending news with my boy Steve Harvey. Yes, and that's another story I'm going to bring up. R. Kelly. I'ma always love me some R. Kelly. R. Kelly, we praying for you, man. You got more fans probably now than you did when you went to jail. I must say that, because that's going to be my next topic. R. Kelly is an innocent man. Bill Cosby is an innocent man. Michael Jackson is an innocent man. Mike Tyson is an innocent man. Do you not see what they're doing? They're trying to break these men that have worked so hard for their living. They want to rob them and take all their money. They're innocent men, but that's my next topic. So this is Black Sugar Lounge. Lounging it out. Talking to my people. And I'm trying to keep God in everything I do. As Steve Harvey would say, talk to God. He would love to hear from you. I am Black Sugar Writer, your girl, for all the latest black information that would help my people get one foot in front of the other. Why? Because I love you. I love you so much. You are everything to me. Yes, you are. You don't have to love me, but I love you. Black Sugar, I'm out of here. Like last year. Let me go, let me go. Black Sugar. Talk to you next time. Mwah.